1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here as well. Mariners playing three games in Houston over the weekend, losing two of three. And today, I think the most important day of the Mariners season. We'll talk about why coming up. This is a big podcast. Very, very big podcast. So the Mariners battling it out with the Kansas City Royals and Oakland A's. We're going to get a unique perspective on this battle from Bob Dutton. You know, he covers the Mariners for the Tacoma News Tribune and covered the Kansas City Royals for a long time. So Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to talk to Bob Dutton about this race to the finish from both the Mariners and Kansas City perspective. That's really good. That comes up in just a little bit. We're going to review the entire weekend and get reaction from what happened yesterday from Michael Saunders. Also, Mike Zanino. Great insight on a couple of pitchers who struggled yesterday, Sashi Wakuma and Yorvis Medina. So we'll get that coming up. Bullpen banter, it's Monday. Charlie Furbush, this time with Chris Taylor. That's on its way. Greg Green's going to stop by to tell us what's going on with the final three home games of the season. That comes up. And James Paxton pitches today for the Mariners. Wait till you hear what C.J. Wilson had to say about James Paxton. It's pretty remarkable. For one veteran lefty to a very young lefty, it's amazing, especially when you hear the company he puts him in terms of other pitchers in baseball, especially left-handed pitchers in baseball. It's pretty remarkable stuff. So we'll get to that as well. But first things first, let's get to the weekend. Mariners in Houston for three. We talked about it going in that it'd be a tough three because of two of the pitchers they face. Dallas Keuchel on Saturday, Colin McHugh on Sunday, who have been two of the better pitchers in the American League. And that's why I made Friday so big for the M's, and they came out swinging the sticks on Friday, and just long balls galore for the Mariners.
Now delivers, swing and a fly ball, well hit into right center field, going back, Mariznick, track, warning track, high in the air, gone, goodbye baseball, into the bullpen, Kyle Seager, with a three-run home run, the Mariners' second three-run blast in this inning. Holy smokes, and it's now the Mariners 8 and the Astros 1 for Kyle Seager, his 24th home run of the year. Here's the pitch on the way, swinging a well-hit ball deep to right field. Back she goes, going, he did it again. Dustin Ackley, goodbye baseball, his second home run of the ball game and 13th of the year. Straight away right field. His other one went opposite field to left. Dustin Ackley touches home, and the Mariners now lead the Astros 9-3.
So a big night offensively for the M's as they explode. They win 10-5 in game one of the series. Game two on Saturday, Houston turns the tables. They swat five long balls, four runs in the first inning off of Chris Young. They win going away 10-1, and that set up the finale on Sunday. The Mariners really trying to get it, and things look good early thanks to Michael Saunders, a big jack to give the M's the lead.
He goes again, pitch on the way, swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to right field, going, upper deck, goodbye baseball. Holy smokes, what a shot by Michael Saunders. His seventh home run of the season. And the Mariners have just taken the lead 3-1 over the Astros here in the top of the fifth inning.
Big home run. Mariners leading 3-1 at the time, but they could not hold the lead. Asashi Iwakuma, who had struggled in his previous handful of starts coming in, the struggles continued. His ERA now over 9 in his last six starts. And Iwakuma could not turn back the clock and be vintage, who we've seen so often, the all-star, the Cy Young Award candidate, has just really struggled. He really struggled, couldn't hold the lead, bullpen couldn't hold the lead, and the Astros win the final game of the series over the Mariners. So they take 2 of 3, and they put the Mariners in a tough spot heading into the final 7 games of the season. But here is why today is so important and so pivotal either way. So let's break it down. Now, yesterday was a tough day for the Mariners all the way around. Not only did they lose, the Kansas City Royals salvaged the finale of the series against the Detroit Tigers, and the A's were locked up in a back-and-forth battle, both teams battling, the A's and the Phillies. Ended up being 6-6, going to extra innings before Josh Donaldson ended it. Game-winning home run for Donaldson, so the A's win. So here's the Mariners' situation as we sit right now. They're 2 games back of the Oakland A's for the first wild card. They are sitting 1.5 back of Kansas City for the second wild card. But here's why today in particular is so important. And the first reason is Kansas City travels to Cleveland. Now, before those two teams play tonight, their full game, which is going to start at 4:05 Eastern. An hour before that, they're going to finish their suspended game. And right now, the Cleveland Indians are ahead. It's 4-2. They're going to the bottom of the 10th inning. So the Royals will have 3 outs. They're at the top of the inning. No pitches have been thrown. Although Allen, the pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, the closer, he has been used, and I don't believe he can come back because I think they had another pitcher warming up. So I think officially he had been listed. So Cleveland will have to turn to somebody else other than their closer to get the save, try and get the save against the Royals. Royals do up. They're bottom 3 in the order. Right now it's Moustakas, their backup catcher. So I'm guessing we'll see a pinch hitter in that circumstance. And then Escobar. So bottom 3 of the order. And right there is a precious half game. If the Indians can just close that down, get the win, that's half game right there. And then, so at 7:05, which 4:05 Pacific time, Royals and Indians will play their regularly scheduled game. And here's what it looks like. This is interesting, too. So Carlos Carrasco is going to go for Cleveland. And Mariner fans, this is great news because Carrasco has been one of the hottest pitchers in the American League. His overall numbers outstanding. He hasn't pitched a full season, but a 2.65 ERA. He's amassed 121 strikeouts. His whip 0.98, but he's been even better as of late. I mean, Mariner fans, you saw Houston in his last 3 games. They're a team that can swing it, and they have some pop. Altuve, you know, Carter, guys like that. He went against Houston in his last start. Complete game, 2-hit shutout. Fanned 12. 2 starts ago against the White Sox, 8 2/3, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts. Fanned 10 against the Tigers to start before that. I mean, he went a span going 6 starts and giving up 3 earned runs between August and in September. So he's red hot. That's who Kansas City is facing tonight after the suspended game. Danny Duffy is a good one. He's going to go for the Royals, but he has not pitched in a while. A 1-start start, the 6th of this month, before having to leave. He hasn't pitched more than 1 pitch in a start since the 31st of August. So he's had a good year. 2.42 ERA, vicious lefty, fantastic stuff. The question is, what can he bring? He hasn't pitched in a month. What's he going to bring to the game? That's the wild card. Carrasco, though, has been brilliant. Hope still flickering for Cleveland. They will be awfully motivated to get these 2 games. And Mariner fans hoping they get these 2 games. So that's how it sits. Now, map out this scenario. Let's just say Cleveland finishes off the Royals in the suspended game. Let's go ahead and say that Cleveland beats the Royals in game 2. That's a full game just like that. Now, here's the other important part of the equation for several reasons. Mariners' rotation has struggled. They've had 2 guys that have continued to dominate. Those 2 guys, James Paxton and Felix Hernandez, are the first 2 pitching in this Toronto series. These are huge games for the Mariners with Paxton and Felix on the mound, and Paxton is pitching tonight. 407, first pitch. We'll take the air at 3 o'clock for the pregame show, going against Jay Happ, a lefty. That's caused some problems, lefty starters as of late for the Mariners. But James Paxton going. So you have the Royals a chance to lose a full game just on their own. You have the Mariners a chance to gain a half game. When it's all said and done, after today, the Mariners could be tied if things went their way for the second wild card. So after a disappointing weekend, it is all right there. That's why today is so pivotal, because if you switch that around, so the Royals win a couple games, the Mariners lose a game, then you're talking a huge hole to climb out of with just six games to go. But picture this, a tie with six games to go. If you throw in an Oakland A's loss, a Mariners win, they're just a game back again. But again, reverse the scenario. Oakland wins, Mariners lose. That's another game back, and it gets tough to make up with just six games to go. That's why tonight, so pivotal. The A's, by the way, they're hosting the Angels. C.J. Wilson is going to go. He pitched great against the Mariners his last time out. Mariner fans hope for that again from C.J. Wilson. Jeff Samardzija will pitch for the Oakland A's. So Angels, A's, that's 7:05 tonight. So big, big night of Mariners baseball. So James Paxton on the hill, he's been unbelievable. 6-3, 2.06 ERA. Before we get to more about him, I want to cover a few things from the game that happened last night. I just mentioned the rotation that has struggled, including Hisashi Iwakuma. Here's Mike Zunino talking about Iwakuma and what he saw.
Yeah, I think he was sort of fighting where the ball was going. He was missing in when he wanted to go out, and vice versa. But it's one of those things where he continued to battle, but he just hasn't quite found that rhythm in that start to get his accuracy back.
At this point, how much? I mean, it just seems like down just a little bit. How much would that help him?
Yeah, down, and finishing his pitches just a hair more so he can get that two-seam to the outside corner or drive a ball inside. It's just it's not much that he needs to do, and that's the thing that I keep telling him is just continue to do what you're doing and just try to finish your pitches and just sort of trust your stuff. I don't want him to try to manipulate the ball too much.
When you see him walk the first batter of the game, you're just like, that's not him. You had to be kind of just stunned.
Yeah. He doesn't walk guys. He doesn't walk many guys, and it's one of those things where you can sort of see when he's out there feeling good and sort of pounding the strike zone where he wants, and then you can sort of see where he's a little erratic or cutting it by accident or whatever it was. And he just didn't find it for that first batter. So it was just one of those things. Yeah, I had good life to his fastball. His split was good today. So it was one of those things where it was just more of the location than his stuff.
He says that he's having a hard time getting ahead right now. Is he able to go with what you're asking for him to do when he doesn't get ahead?
It sometimes it dictates. If his slider is good, we can throw that early in the count. But if it's not, maybe we have to try the split or the sinker or some other pitch. So it's one of those things where it sort of dictates what pitch isn't. It is working or isn't working, and what the count is.
What's going on with Medina? From what you've seen, the last few times, the sinker isn't staying up over the plate. And just slider hasn't been very effective.
Yeah, I think his biggest thing, I thought he made a few really good pitches with that slider to Mariznick early, and I think he just tried to overcorrect one that he yanked a little bit, and that went back over the plate and he did a good piece of hitting. But I think it's him just getting back to, trusting his stuff, trusting that power sinker and getting on top of it. I think that's the biggest thing is when he tries to make it run too much, that's when it sort of flattens out.
I know you guys have to take everything game to game, but you're running out of games, and yeah. How are you guys handling that right now?
It's one of those things where we just have to regroup. Obviously this isn't the series we wanted to have here, and it's one of those where hopefully we can bounce back and string a few together in Toronto.
And then, of course, Michael Saunders bashed the big home run, gave the Mariners a lead at the time. He summed up this game and where the Mariners are at heading into the next series in Toronto.
Yeah, I got some swings today, but, like you said, it's meaningless unless we win. We're at a point in the season where we got one goal in mind, and that's to win ball games. And unless we do, nothing else matters. So.
You hit the one, and if they go up, there's a pretty big point. You feel like the momentum was kind of going your way at that point. So.
Yeah. It felt like, McHugh's pitched great all year, and we seem to face him every time or every series, it seems like. And You know, to get a lead, especially with Kuma on the mound, it's important. You know, felt a momentum shift, and then throwing Altuve out at second base, we felt the momentum come back in our dugout and in our favor as well, but we weren't able close enough.
Mike, what's the frustration like? I mean, you guys had some opportunities in the series. You know, teams in front of you lost. You could have made up some ground. I mean, do you guys dwell on it even a little bit before you kind of flush it and everything?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yesterday would have been a great day to win if you really want to, you know, look at it like that or scoreboard watch. But bottom line is we're not out of it by any means. You know, thankfully, destiny's kind of in our own hands. We're not three or four games back of having four or five teams in front of us having to really have a lot of teams lose. So, you know, if we just go out there and take care of our business, you know, unfortunately, we didn't do that this series. But, you know, the series is over, and we got a good one coming up in Toronto, and we swept them at home, so we're looking to play well on the road and then finish up in Anaheim. You know, just being at a point where games matter this late in September is exciting, and we're not going to, you know, roll over just because of just because losing a series to Houston. But obviously, you know, we could have made up some ground if we took a couple W's this series. I think we have seven games left, and you know, we can't dwell on this series at all. Every game matters, and we're not out of it. So, you know, the cliche as it sounds, you got to have a short memory in baseball. And you know, we're looking to go into Toronto and win some games.
Okay, which leads us to James Paxton, who I've gone over his pitching tonight against the Blue Jays. If you, I mean, we've had a chance to watch Paxton pitch every time out. And I asked the question on Twitter, actually, in his last start, is he a top 10 lefty already in Major League Baseball? Which I totally realize that's a ridiculous question for a guy who's, you know, he's under 20 starts in his big league career. I mean, you can't, it's just unfair, really, to put him up with some of the good lefties in the big leagues. But I just ticked off the list of kind of the obvious names that comes to mind. You know, Kershaw, Sale, Price, Hamels, you know, that whole list. I've been through about seven guys, kind of the top tier. But then you start looking at Paxton and comparing him to some of the others. You know, that next tier, kind of the Quintana, Raul, you know, just kind of that next tier of left-handers. And is Paxton already there? Just, I mean, you watch him pitch, and he's just dynamite. And he's got the whole package in terms of just pure stuff, pitchability, the way he throws, the smarts, everything. He's got it all. And, you know, I proposed, is he in the top 10? Which is kind of funny to think about. Wait till you hear what C.J. Wilson has to say in that context, though. Here's Aaron Goldsmith with the Angels pitcher, C.J. Wilson.
You were magnificent last night. What was it that was working so well for you?
Well, I mean, I had to be because, you know, Paxton's really, really good. He's fantastic. So I can't take for granted that we're going to score a bunch of runs. We ended up pushing through for five runs in the bottom of the seventh. But, I mean, you look at his ERA, it's like a one-point something. He throws 97 miles an hour, and he strikes everybody out. So it's not like I just said, oh, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go out there and just kind of throw the ball around, and we're going to win. I knew that based on what I've seen from him and the fact that the Mariners were hungry, like I had to pitch really well. And my game plan worked out really well. My curveball was better than I can ever remember it, like relative to, I mean, probably back to like little league days or, you know, summer league days or something like that. You know, it was really the best curveball I can remember having.
And we were really excited to watch last night's game, a matchup of two really good lefties. And from one lefty watching the other, it seems like you really did pretty easily take notice of James Paxton. Have you seen a combination of a fastball and a curveball work quite as well as that on a particular night, like we saw from Paxton last night?
You know, it's funny. You never really want to, like, root for the other guy, but you have to kind of admire his skill level. I mean, you look at, like, I'm really good friends with one of the pitching rovers with the Mariners organization. He was one of my coaches with the Rangers, Terry Clark. And he was like, just wait, Paxton's really good. He's like, boom, straight downhill. I mean, he's at, what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that. He's a giant. He's throwing the ball 97 miles an hour downhill. It's intimidating. You know, I wouldn't want to hit off him. And he carved us up. So, you know, he carved us up that first series of the year. So we were like, oh, man, this guy and Felix and Iwakuma, great. This is going to be a long year. So I think he's something special. The Mariners are very lucky to have him. And he's going to be very formidable in the next couple of years. I mean, this is just his coming out party right now, you know. So the league will catch up to him a little bit. They'll understand his patterns a little bit more, just how the ball comes out of his hand, and maybe come up with a better plan to get to him. But, I mean, his numbers speak for themselves. He's got fantastic stuff, and he's probably going to keep getting better because he's just a young guy. So, I put him in that category with Lester and Price and Kershaw and as one of those lefties that can go out there and dominate, you know.
There it is. I think it's pretty remarkable stuff coming from a guy that's been around and seen a lot of good pitchers. That is high, high praise. And that's the guy on the mound for the M's tonight as the Mariners looking for a win, desperate for a win to take game one of this series against the Blue Jays. Meanwhile, Toronto, they've lost 7 of their past 8 games, essentially have been knocked out of this race over the past week. So we'll see how that plays into things as well. Kansas City, though, very much alive. And for kind of the insight there, we'll hand it over again to Aaron Goldsmith. Here's Bob Dutton from the Tacoma News Tribune.
Well, Bob, this wild card race has been fun for everybody, broadcasters, writers, players, too. And you look at the Central right now, and at times Mariners fans have been rooting for the Royals. At times they've been rooting for the Tigers. If you look at the schedule for those two teams the rest of the way they finish up their series today, the Royals at Cleveland for 3, the Royals at the White Sox for 4, the Tigers at home, White Sox in Minnesota. Tigers a 2.5 game lead right now. Is it a foregone conclusion in your mind that the Tigers will win their 4th consecutive Central crown?
It's looking like that, you know, real strong. I mean, the Royals would have to win today, and then, you know, the Tigers have shown that they can stumble. And, yeah, anything's possible in this last week, but they've owned the Royals. And, I think the Tigers are the division champs.
For Kansas City, just getting to the wild card, what would that mean for that city?
Well, they haven't been in postseason since 1985. In fact, the last person to make an out, the last person to bat in a Royals postseason game was Andy Van Slyke.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he flew out to right field for the final out in the 85 series. So that's how long it's been. So it's, 29 years. So, and this is the year they've been building toward. I mean, Dayton Moore got there in 2006, and it was a mess. I was there for 30 years. And they slowly built, and they had a lot of hiccups along the way. But this was the year. This is James Shields' second year. They made the big trade for Shields 2 years ago. Knew they had him for 2 years. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of this year. This is the year that they pointed toward. It would be devastating for that organization, I think, not to make the postseason this year.
Will Myers, after he won Rookie of the Year award, last year has had an injury-plagued season. This year with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has not been all that strong at all. How will that Shields-Will Myers trade be viewed if the Royals don't even make the wild card?
Well, it'd be a huge disappointment. Now, the Royals also got Wade Davis in that deal, and he may be their closer, or who knows what he's going to be. I mean, they've got both Holland and Davis, so they got another element in that trade. And Wade Davis is under contract through I'm doing this from memory, Aaron, I think through 2017 with options. So, I mean, so they've got something else there. But, look, this was the year. I mean, they made that trade to reset the franchise, basically, in a similar way like when the Mariners signed Cano. I mean, it was a different thing. The Mariners went years and money. The Royals did prospects. I mean, but it was basically the same thing, to reset the franchise, to get it moving, toward postseason. If he departs without them getting there, yeah, that's a big, big disappointment for that team.
As we take a look now at the American League West, the Angels have sewn things up. The A's have been in a free fall like no one has really ever seen before. How would you describe what's happened with the A's this year?
Well, I mean, I'm old enough that I was growing up outside of Philly in 64. So, I mean, if you've talked to Dave Sims, he has the same memory. So, I mean, that scarred me as a 9-year-old. So, I mean, so I've seen this happen. But the A's, here's the thing. When they made those trades, and they got Smarja and who's the other pitcher? Lester, I mean, obviously. Look, the trades made sense, and they were trying to line up for postseason because they've been beaten the last 2 Octobers by Detroit with better arms. So, I mean, on paper, those trades made sense. But I think the A's for 2.5 years have not been about what's on paper, because you look at that team on paper, it shouldn't be that good. I mean, the sum is greater than the parts. You put, ordinary players, you put them together, for some reason it worked for 2.5 years. You start messing with the parts, and who knows what happens. Now, I'm not saying I expected them to fall apart like this. I mean, I keep waiting for them to pull out of it. And actually, I don't know about you, but I thought they kind of pulled out of it last weekend at Safeco. When they won those 2 games, they survived Felix and won the series. I thought, okay, they're safe. But then they go home and lose 3 in a row to Texas. They're 1-1 with the Phillies right now. I don't know. I mean, they could fall all the way out.
In your mind, finally, Bob, what's the formula for the Mariners to be able to get into the wild card?
Well, I mean, they got to have a good week, obviously. And that's what the season's come down now. For 6 months, it comes down to a week. And the Mariners have enough pitching. They could go – they got 8 games left. They could go 7-1, 6-2. I think if they go 5-3, if they win here today, split in Toronto, take 2 out of 3 against the Angels, I think that at least gets them to Monday with a play-in game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with a week to go, all these teams are good enough to put together one really good week. And that's I think that's what they're all looking for.
It's exciting stuff. Bob, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for the insights.
All right, Aaron. Bye.
So there it is. Some insight on what's going down between these two teams, the Mariners and the Royals. And the more we move on, I know the A's still in the mix as well. It could come down to a Royals-Mariners slugfest here down the stretch. We're going to switch gears a little bit now, though, and hand things over. It is Monday, and even with the playoff chase in full gear, we're not going to switch anything right now. We're going to hand it over to Charlie Furbush, Bullpen Banter, this time with Chris Taylor.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back again with another edition of Bullpen Banter. It's a great show, and I'm fortunate enough to have the lovely Chris Taylor on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, Furby?
I'm doing great, dude. Doing great. So, it's your first time in Houston, right?
First time playing baseball.
Yeah, first time playing baseball here. Okay, you've been here before then. Makes sense. You hail from the great state of Virginia. Virginia Beach, is that your hometown? Were you born in Virginia Beach?
Yeah, born and raised.
Ooh. And then you went to the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
What is that? What's their mascot?
The Cavaliers, but, you know, we say go Hoos, wahoo wah.
What does it look like as a mascot dressed up? Do you have, like, an animal?
That's a Cavalier.
Okay, all right. Obviously, it's your rookie year. It's your first time being on this lovely Bullpen Banter show, which is one of the most epic radio shows you'll probably ever be on in your life. Give me your favorite ballpark you've been to so far.
It's probably between Camden Yards and Fenway. You know, I love Camden Yards because I grew up kind of close to that area. I went to those games. Playing there in front of my family, that was awesome. And then playing in Fenway, you can't beat that atmosphere. The crowd's right on top of you, and everybody's so into the game. Those are the two parks I've enjoyed playing in the most.
Nice, man. Nice. Those are two great parks. I'm a Boston fan myself growing up in Maine. Hey, Mike.
Hey, it's Bullpen Banter.
Mike wanted to say hi in our Bullpen Banter. He's a former guest. Loves being on the show. I want to know, what was the most embarrassing moment on a baseball field for you?
There's so many. you know.
All right, let's pick one then.
All right, in spring training, you know, I think it was one of our first televised games on MLB Network, and I was nervous. I was still a minor leaguer at the time, and I was playing up in the big league spring training game, and I think I got in the 7th inning. First play, ground ball hit right at me, and I trip over my own cleats, fall right on my face, and that's kind of when it all hit me, you know. You know, this might make not top 10 on SportsCenter.
That's pretty good. I actually do remember seeing that. I was going to tell a story, but I figured I'd let you tell it, you know? Yeah, it's all right. You know, I told Rick this earlier this week. I wanted to try a new topic on Bullpen Banter, so you're my first guinea pig, if you may. I'm going to pick one word, and I want you to rhyme that word and pick as many, and just say as many words as you can that rhyme with that word. A simple word. Orange. No, I'm kidding. I'm not orange. And I don't think anything rhymes with orange. We'll just go with wall. W-A-L-L. How many can you go? Yeah, go as fast as you can, and if you get stumped, then maybe I'll pick you up. We'll play this together.
All right. Ball, tall, call, hall.
Mall, crawl.
Fall, stall.
All right, that's it. Okay, all right. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Not bad.
Seven.
We got seven right there. That's the You set the minimum. Minimum 7. If you get less than 7, you're not even in the running for it. So, good job, CT. Speaking of CT, I know you got a few nicknames. What is your favorite nickname? Let's say even if it's not up here, someone up here in the big leagues gave it to you. Someone, you know, earlier in your life. You have a go-to nickname that you like?
When I first got called up, I don't think Joe Bimel knew my name yet. So he just called me Timid Kid. And at first, I wasn't sure how I felt about it. And, you know, now it's starting to grow on me. You know, every time I get on the bus and, you know, we're messing around, we're on the mic, he'll go, I'm going to do my best impression of him. It's going to be awful, but he'll go, come on now, Timid Kid.
Yes, I was going to do it, but you did it. That's even better. That's I get to hear that every time, pretty much every time you come up to the plate. Joe Bima likes to go and shout that at the top of his lungs down the bullpen, and then, yeah, it's pretty epic. So I guess that's the winner then, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, all right. Now that you've got to know a few of the guys here on the team, if you had to guess, who do you think spends the most time looking at themselves in the mirror?
I got to go with the Fresh Prince, Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, I would say that, too. I mean, there's two other candidates. I'd say for top three, I would go Taiwan, Romero.
Yeah.
Because Romero, he loves how he looks. And for everyone else is Lomo. Lomo thinks he's an extremely good-looking guy.
Those are two pretty good ones. I go sleeper pick Brad Miller. I think he focuses pretty hard on that hair of his.
He is digging himself with that hair. Hair's got to be perfect. He's got almost that. I don't even know what kind of hair that is.
It's good hair. I'm not going to lie.
We're going to wrap this up here pretty quick. I mean, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want, but, I mean, are you a blonde or brunette guy?
I'm not too picky.
Not too picky. All right. Good answer. Same here. Yeah, that's good, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show, CT. It was awesome. Or timid kid, or whatever you want to call him. It's great. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, that'll be it. We'll see you guys next week.
There are three home games left after this Toronto series to get us ready for those one more time. Greg Green and Aaron Goldsmith, here they are.
This is what you play for, you know. We're going to have big games all weekend against the Angels, and you know, the biggest thing we have going for us is we're going to have a home field advantage. The Royals and the A's got to finish on the road, and we got three at home to close it out. So I can't wait to see what Mariner fans bring, because it's going to be electric inside that ballpark this weekend.
No, it's going to be terrific, and we have a couple of promotions to talk about. But before we get to that, GG, would love to kind of get the vibe, the feel, the inside look, just from everybody working for the Mariners who reports to Safeco Field every single day when the team is at home or on the road, and just kind of the feeling, the buzz, the excitement inside that ballpark every day of the week, and especially right now with the team being gone and trying to go for a series win today, of just what this could be like, what it could feel like at Safeco Field for those final three games against the Angels, but then obviously, hopefully, some postseason ball as well.
You know, just like everybody listening, everybody that comes out to the ballpark, we're fans inside of the front office. You know, we live and die with this team. We keep fired up on wins, and you know, we drag a little bit on the losses. But you know, we're just excited as everybody else for you know, what this ball club put together this year, and we can't wait for this weekend and hopefully an extended weekend and a long October right into November into a parade. So, you know, we're pumped and having fun and getting each other fired up and picking each other up after tough games. But it's exciting that it's coming down to this final week and the final weekend at Safeco Field.
That'll be a lot of fun. Mariners will go to Toronto from here, then it's back home for the final three against the Angels. And Friday night, the Mariners will be back home the 26th facing the Halos, 7:10 the first pitch. And I know, GG, this is always a big and really fun night each and every year, Fan Appreciation Night. What all will be going on at Fan Appreciation Night on Friday?
Well, if you've been to a Fan Appreciation Night before, you know that it's like wall-to-wall prizes. We give away prizes throughout the game. This year we're giving away one trip every inning, trips on Alaska Airlines, trips to local destinations and spring training and cruises. We also have one of the more unique prizes, I think, in my 20 seasons I've ever seen this giveaway. We are going to give one fan at that game a chance to go spend an inning that game with Mariners legend Edgar Martinez. I mean, how cool is that? That's a great prize. I would actually like, you know, just spend an inning with Edgar, watch the game, you know, take it in, get his perspective on it. We're going to give that away as a prize on Friday night. We got so many more great prizes, including autographs and TVs. It's a really, really fun special night. Plus, before the game, get there a little early. Some of the players get the season-long award, so it's a chance to kind of for the fans to tip their caps to the players, and then the players to tip the caps to the fans as well for their just tremendous support throughout the year.
And that's great.
Sunday, we do it all for the kids. You know, we got the mascots out there. I know that's your favorite part of the show, seeing them run out onto the field. You get you get a lot of prizes for the kids, you know, tickets and autographs, jerseys, and TVs for them as well. So, I mean, there's kids sitting in that ballpark. They're going to walk home with a big 32-inch TV, which is awesome. So that's a fun day for the kiddos on Sunday.
That's a good lineup of prizes. You guys have scoured all of Seattle, getting some good stuff here. You know, it's interesting because Rick and Kevin and I have also won a free trip to spring training next year. So
congratulations.
We feel like it's slightly rigged, you know. It's kind of like
all expenses paid. We got you covered.
Gigi, it's good to catch up with you. And hey, we can't wait to get home. Those three games against the Angels will be huge, and you guys are doing a great job to make it even more fun than it already will be. So, Greg Green, thank you so much, man.
Look forward to seeing you guys soon. Travel safe.
And to end things today, let's throw a little week that was your way. Some dramatics in the mix, and maybe we'll see a little bit more of that with just a week left. Hard to believe, 7 games to go. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. We'll see what happens today.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week
on Mariners Magazine.
Here's a swing and a drive into center field. Way back, Mike Trout over his head. Gets on by Trout all the way to the wall. Morales will score. Morrison racing around third. He will score. Mike Zunino into second base with a one-out, two-run double. And the Mariners have tied this game at 2-2.
Swing and it's hit on a line and fair pass first base. Pujols was near the line but couldn't get to it. Morales turns it to second base. He holds up at third as Morrison stands up with a double, his first hit tonight. And the Mariners getting greedy here in the sixth inning after a four-run fifth.
Here's the pitch. Taylor swinging a line drive, base hit into center field. That's going to score two more. Here comes Smoke. Here comes DeNorfia. And the Mariners have a baker's dozen. They now have a 13-2 lead in this ball game.
Oh, that was awesome. You know, we were down 2-0 early in the game, and it felt really dead. And that one inning, you know, Zunino got that huge hit, drove in 2 runs, and that kind of got stuff going for us. We were able to rally, get some crooked numbers up on the scoreboard, so that was huge for us. Big momentum shift.
Paxton sets chin high, a look at first base, and a 3-2 pitch, curveball, strike 3 called, 82-mile-an-hour hook, and Mike Trout looks like that's the first pitch he's ever seen in baseball. Absolutely perplexed, the butterflies fluttering above his helmet as Mike Trout is dizzy after that hook by James Paxton. Trout 0-for-3, and he's struck out all 3 times, twice with the bat on his shoulder.
Paxton's really good. He's like, boom, straight downhill. I mean, he's at what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that. He's a giant. He's throwing the ball 97 miles an hour downhill. It's intimidating. You know, I wouldn't want to hit off him. And he carved us up.
The 1-2 to O'Malley, swing and a miss, strike 3, and there it is. Strikeout number 233 on the season, a new career high for Felix Hernandez, king of the hill, here at Anaheim Stadium tonight, and that will end the inning. 233 strikeouts for the king.
Here comes the Kings, 0-2, swing and a miss, strike 3. His 10th strikeout tonight as he whips Grant Green. As Felix has just completely dominated the Angels this evening.
You go around, when you talk to scouts or everything else, they said the most dangerous team in the American League is the Mariners. That the Mariners get in there with Hernandez and Paxton, you know, watch out.
And a move to first base, and the ball gets on by Navarro down the right field line. Down to second goes Jones. The play backed up by Green, the second baseman. He gets to it, gets the throw in, and James Jones winds up on its second base. A 1-1 to Morrison. Swing and a fly ball deep to right center field. Bosch going back to the warning track, looking up, and this is gone. Goodbye, baseball. In and out of the seats in right field. A 3-run home run by Logan Morrison. And the Mariners have the lead here in the top of the ninth inning. His 9th home run of the year. It's the Mariners 3 and the Angels nothing. Holy smokes, what a blast.
That's number one for sure. Yeah, it surpasses the last one I hit. And hopefully I'll have some more down the stretch. And
just keep it going, man. We need some more wins, and you know, we know we got a lot of work ahead of us, but that felt good tonight to get this one.
Here's the 2-2, and it's strike three called, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 3-1. Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky, and for Fernando Rodney, his 46th save on the year, and that is a new Mariner club record.
It all counts. It's like, you know, people ask you, how was your flight? If it landed, it was a good flight. So.